Pastor David asked me to do the offering this morning, and I was praying yesterday. We were out doing some landscaping for somebody, and I was standing by this mulch pile, and I started thinking about it. And it's a good time to daydream when you're standing by a mulch pile. And it kind of smells like barbecue, actually. I don't know. Anyway, I was standing there and I was praying about it, you know, and hanging out there, filling up the wheelbarrows, and just going, you know, what if you didn't get paid to do this? Would we really want to do this? And I thought, no, we wouldn't want to do this. And I started thinking about that a little bit more. And we go to work and we make money. We get something back. And a business operates that way too. You do work, and the more work you do, the more your business increases, right? That's kind of the way the structure of how things operate. And as I thought about that a little bit more, I was praying about it, and the Lord's going, you know, you need to give with purpose. You have to give with purpose. And I thought, what does that really mean, give with purpose? And I started thinking about it a little bit more, and the Lord's going, you know what? When you give, he goes, I bless so that you have more to increase the kingdom. Right? And the same structure exists in our employment. Whether we work for somebody or we have a business, that structure is out there. You wouldn't go to work to lose money, would you? You know, when I see Ben out there and he's working hard, Peter and other folks here, Levi, you know, I don't look at them and I go, God, I wish those guys would quit because I'm losing money. You just don't look at it that way, do you? Well, when we tithe, we don't look at it that way either. We're not looking as though we're losing money. We're actually, he actually says in his word that as we give, he blesses. Right? That cornerstone verse in Malachi where he said, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. He has a thing there that he said, I will pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. And when we have purpose in that, where we go, you know what, when I give, he's increasing me to so that I can further the kingdom. So this morning, let's give with purpose, with faith. All right, go ahead and pass out the envelopes. Anybody that needs one, raise your hand. And we're going to, when we pray over the offering this morning, let's keep that in mind, is that we give not to lose, but we give to increase. Right? Amen. I was reading something else in the Bible the other day where Jesus was crying over Jerusalem. And, you know, one of the things I think he wept over Jerusalem was the lost opportunity. He goes, if you would have known the day of your visitation, Pastor David talked about knowing, and you go, you know what? Every time we give or we have this opportunity, it's something that we can use our faith toward. And you know, when we don't, I look at his response when he whipped over Jerusalem, and I go, I don't want him to do that over me. Right? Amen? Okay, let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give this morning, Father. We just apply purpose and faith to our giving, Lord God, knowing with full assurance that as we give, you increase so that we can further your kingdom. And we thank you for that opportunity, Father, that as we do this in faith, you don't weep, but you rejoice with us, Lord. And we thank and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, you're ready to receive this morning.
Yes.
Amen. I'm ready to receive. Father, we're ready to receive this morning from you. We're ready to worship you, Lord, and we're ready to praise you, Father. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you always cause us to triumph and have the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm looking out across here and I see the 30, 60, and 100-fold return people out here. I see the 30, 60, and 100-fold return. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to do something maybe a little bit different this morning on our message this morning. I've been doing a lot of praying, a lot of thinking, a lot of talking to the Lord about things. And there's some really, really different things stirring in my heart this morning. And one of the things I was thinking about earlier in the week was what Matt said during disciple time last Sunday was, the Lord desires a greater commitment from all of us. And I was looking, Pastor David gave me a G-PAN, it's the prayer summary for the week. And one of the things that Mac Hammond said in that God was looking for a greater commitment from his people to pray. And other things, when we came back from Branson, there was a few other things that the Lord just spoke to me about that I want to see happen. And I believe, for the most part, that God's people wants to see these things happen too, but just to get to that point, I think is a little bit of a mystery of how to get those things that God has placed in our heart to really become a reality. So I'm going to teach a little bit here on some faith. And to get the reality of what God placed in your heart, to get the reality of what God has placed in this church, the vision of this church, to get it to become material, to turn it into the physical. Because we want to see that, and I want to see that. So, we're going to talk a little bit here in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8, which most of you know is the great faith chapter. And I go back to this from time to time, and every time I do, the Lord shows me something new, which I'm thankful for, because it's something that'll take me to a higher place. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And then it says in verse 10, "For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So in verse 8, I went back to that. In verse 8, he was obedient to the promise. In verse 9, he got around the promise. He got around the promise. And in verse 10, he looked for it. And I want to really focus in on looking at the things that God wants us to see. There's things that God wants us to see. He wants for us, I believe, to see what he has placed in your hearts and what he has placed in the heart of this church. He wants us to see that. And one of the things that Kathy and I do, Nick, would you hand me my faith board over there? One of the things that we've done is in our home is we have made us our faith board, and we've put these things, these pictures on our faith board. And we'll go by and we will pray for these things. We'll pray for the lost. And here I pray, this reminds me to pray for you all as I see this person right here praying. And I'm believing that you all are 30, 60, and 100-fold people. Amen. That you bear much fruit. Amen. So it gives me something to look at, and then here I'm looking at lands and houses and buildings for our church, for our future church. Because the Bible says if you give everything up for the gospel, he'll give you houses and lands and brothers and sisters. So that's what I'm looking for, and I associate scripture verses with these different things. And here we added this, but I'm going to put this. We're going to make one actually for the church. We're going to make us a vision board for the church. And we're going to put this down. This is a hotel Billy Brim is wanting to build in Israel for the Jewish people, a study center. So we're going to put that on there, and we're going to put different things on our vision board for the church. But here we got Kathy and I are believing for a bigger house, and here's a school for our daughter and our kids to go to college, all the resources there, and they wanted some new cars, so we put those pictures of those cars down there for them. So we're believing God for things that, and we do this because we want to see what God wants, okay? That's why we do that. So we're going to put a vision board together for the church. Now, I want to go on here in Hebrews chapter 11, and it goes on and says, through faith, in verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. And I saw some things in here that I've not seen before. One of the things is they were persuaded. The second thing is they embraced it. The third thing is they confessed it. Now in verse 14, it says that they were seeking out a country. They were looking for something. They were looking for something better. Now in verse 15, it says this, and truly if they'd been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity returned. Now, here's the consequences for not seeking or for not looking for the things that God wants you to have and the things that God wants you to do in your life. Here's the consequences. It's a return to the past. Did you catch that? It's a return to the past. If you look at verse 15 in here, it says, and truly, if they had not been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have an opportunity to return. Now, one of the dangers of not being able to see, here's one of the dangers, and I think this is very dangerous. One of the things that can happen to a believer, when God puts something on your heart, and you don't clearly have a vision for what he wants and can clearly see what he wants you to do, there is a danger of returning to the past and returning to the familiar. Did you all catch that? There's a danger to return to the familiar. And I'm going to tell you, you know how you know when you return to the familiar, or you're living in the familiar, or you're living in the past? Because the same old thing happens every day. Over and over. Same old thing goes on over and over and over. You know, I believe one of the things that God wants his people to be is very productive. Very productive. When we talked about that here a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 25, where he talked about the parable of the talents. And he said, take that, and these are the words of Jesus. The master said, take that unprofitable servant and cast him out, right? It's getting pretty quiet in here. Yeah. It's getting real quiet in here. It's like, uh-oh. But you see, what I believe the Lord wants us to see today is he wants us to get a clear vision. He wants us to see clearly where we're going. He wants you to see clearly where you're going, and He wants you to visualize that. He wants you to actually see that. And I'll tell you in a moment how you can get to the point of being able to see it. Now, God doesn't want us to return to the familiar. He doesn't want us to return to the past. Right? So, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. It says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." So right there, that's giving us instruction on what we should be doing with what we're looking at, right? It's saying, let my eyes look right on, and let my eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't get distracted with these sight issues. That's why he's saying, look straight on. There are things that can come in as sight issues, and earlier I mentioned, I won't let anyone steal my joy. Because there's sight issues that can come. It can be people or it can be circumstances or whatever that can get your eyes from looking straight on as to what God wants you to be looking at. Right? So one of the things I have to do is I have to discipline myself and know what's a distraction and what God wants for me. Right? Then it goes over on in Proverbs 23. It says this in verse 31. The consequences for looking at the wrong thing. The consequences for looking at the wrong things. Using your eyes to look at the wrong things. Getting distracted. Looking at the wrong things can let certain things that get into your heart that won't be good. Right? Because if you look at, I believe it was Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. And when you look at the wrong things, these are some of the things that can happen. Proverbs 4:23, it says this. Or 23, I'm sorry, Proverbs 23:31. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. So there's times I think that you can take and look at the wrong things and get in trouble with those things. When we look and use our eyes. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it talks about David and what happened when he looked at the wrong thing. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besides Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David looked upon something and got himself in trouble. Now how many times do you think that you could look upon something and get in trouble by looking at it? A lot. You know, I was reading a statistic the other day where it said that, I believe it was 18 to 24-year-olds, or actually just the general population, 66% of the general population was hooked on some sort of pornography. Surprising statistics. But looking at things that get them in trouble. How many marriages do you think that has destroyed? How many marriages by looking at the wrong thing did that destroy? How many things besides a marriage that couldn't be done by God's people because they looked at the wrong thing. Then we know the story of about Eve in Genesis 3:6, where she looked upon it and she saw that it was good. But the temptation there to look at the wrong thing that the enemy put forth to her. And one of the temptations, if you read about it, all throughout the Bible it talks about three temptations. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the one thing that he used, that the enemy used with Eve, was the lust of the eyes. And again, it goes back to what it says in Proverbs, where it says, look straight on. Look straight on. Don't become distracted. How many times do you think people have gotten distracted? How many times have I gotten distracted? And the enemy tries to put things in my path to distract me, to get me off God's plan. And I'll tell you, here's what distraction does. You know, we've been talking about being in our position, in our God-ordained position in 2010. And here's what it does. In Luke chapter 9, verse 6. You know, I think I wrote down the wrong verse there. Having a hard time with verses this morning. But the verse I'm looking for is where Jesus talked about the guy at the plow looking back. And he said, anytime you're plowing and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. And you know, I looked up that word fit in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means to be well placed. So anytime you're looking back at the past and getting distracted with side things, the Bible says you can't be well placed. So that tells me that I can't be in my divine, God-ordained position if I'm always looking back at things that happened way back when. Right? I can't be well placed. It's 9:62. Let's read that. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So what does that do? That disqualifies me immediately. Right? It disqualifies me from kingdom living. It disqualifies me from living and participating in the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit or is not well placed for the kingdom. Now you can look at things and you can look at your financial situation. You can look at health situation and get distracted by things. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us in a good financial position. I believe He does. But I think it's a ploy of the enemy that keeps people from attaining what God wants them to do by putting in these side distractions and making them look at things that they're not supposed to look at. So that's why when we pray, you know, I take and I want to visualize what God wants. I want to see what God wants. And some time ago, if y'all remember, we talked about that verse, and I believe it was 1 or 2 Peter, where it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Well, that means to strengthen, and the loins of your mind is the creative part of your mind. God gave each one of us a creative ability in our mind to be able to visualize things, to be able to see things. Now, what do we have to do? What should we be doing in order? Or what can I do to be able to see what God sees? Do you think it's possible to see what God sees? I believe that. So I'm exercising my faith. I believe that. And I believe when he talked about it in Joel chapter 2 and in Acts 1, chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 about him pouring out his spirit. And in that he said that your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall see visions. I believe it goes something like that. There was a visual thing that he wants people to see. He wants them to see what he wants and that what he wants to do. Now, in John chapter 16, here's what you can do. John chapter 16. And I use my faith for this. I use my faith and I say, you know what? I've embraced this. I'm persuaded of this and I confess this. And I'm seeking out the better thing here. Because Jesus has provided the better thing. Amen? And in John 16:13 it says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." In other words, it's going to be like show and tell. It's going to be show and tell. I'm going to show you things to come. We're going to have some show and tell time here. And I love it when God starts showing me things to come. He's showing me the future. But see, it's interesting to note here that the Holy Spirit wants to show us the future, but the enemy always wants to show us the past. Right? He always wants to show us the past so you can live in the past and never anticipate the future. Because it'll destroy your faith every single time. It'll destroy it. You won't embrace anything. You won't be persuaded of anything that God wants for you. Now, it goes on to say this in verse 14. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall" what? "Show it unto you." So he's going to have show and tell. And he's going to show you things. So I use my faith and I say, "Lord, you're going to show me these things. Whatever is yours, you're going to show it to me. Because the reason you're showing me these things is because this is what you want to accomplish here. This is what you want to do here." So I take that. And I'll tell you what, I run with that. Then it says in 1 Chronicles 16 verses 8 through 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16:8. It says here, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk you of all his wonderful, wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." So you know what? When I do that, I seen and I saw what the Lord has done in the past. And I talk about all the good things that God has done. And you know what? More good things start happening. Because I keep my focus. I keep my focus on Him and on what He wants. Amen? So some very practical things to do. Right there the Bible tells us how we can see. God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can see the future, that we can see things, and that we can know things. Right? And I use my faith to believe for that. And I come. You know, Matt this morning, he talked about during the tithe and offering, he talked about a lost opportunity. I don't want to have a lost opportunity because I can't see properly what God wants. I don't want another lost opportunity where Jesus would weep over that and say, "There was a lost opportunity, and you never went after it." And this is a good way to avoid lost opportunities, because I believe that there's an opportunity not only for this church, but individually, as people to go every day and share Christ with someone. There is an opportunity for that. Amen? And as we look to the things of God, as we look to the things of God, this is what my Father wants. Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, I only say the things that I hear my Father say, and I only do the things that I see my Father do. And I want to be able to do that. And I have been able to do that. But I think, and I really believe this, the things where people can't see what God wants to do is they get diverted on these side issues. These distractions. The past. And can't do it. Looking back and not getting well placed in your position. So here's what I'm going to submit to you today. Every day is an opportunity. And you won't see it as that if you don't start seeing what God sees. Every day is an opportunity. I've been guilty of it. Coming to church, not expecting anything. I've been guilty of that. But there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity for me to receive from the Lord to be able to give to someone else. Billy Miller is going to be here April 25th. What are you believing for when he comes? What are you believing for when he comes? Is there an opportunity for anyone in here, do you think, when he comes? Do you think there's an opportunity this coming weekend when we get back together? Or do you think there's an even opportunity tomorrow when we go back to our jobs or whatever we do to share with someone, to share Christ with someone? Or to give them hope? Or to encourage them? How many opportunities will be played back to us on maybe a projector like this or something similar to it? And the Lord say, you know, you had this opportunity. I gave you this. That would be a big ouchie. Yeah. That would be like, Lord. But as I looked at this, and as I looked and I said, Lord, you want your people to see, and you've given your people that opportunity to be able to see these things. You've given the opportunity to see with their mind and even see with their eyes what you desire. Look around and you see opportunity. Jesus said, look around, for the fields are white unto harvest. He was saying that there's opportunity all around if you'll just take and look up and look around and see with your eyes. You know, one of the things I like doing is going to Bass Pro Shop. I just absolutely love going in there. But you know what? What I find, there will be things I want specifically, but I get so distracted. I mean, I get so distracted, and I look at this, and I look at that, then I'll see the fish tanks, and I'll see the alligator, and it's like I'm just running from place to place. But, you know, I think that's very similar. That's very similar to what happens every day when we go to work or whatever. We come to church, and there's just distractions. And God doesn't want us to be distracted. That's why he says, look straight forward. Look right on. Look right on. And that's why we're going to have our vision board. It's so that we can write the vision and make it plain. This is what we're after. This is what we're focused on. We're focused on these things. We're focused on seeing what God sees. And what he says and what he wants. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that's exciting. That's very exciting. I think it is a great opportunity. Those people in Hebrews chapter 11, they saw something. They were looking for something. They even admitted it. And they saw. They were looking and they were seeing something that God wanted for them. Now we got to start looking and seeing what God wants for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Be careful what you stick before your eyes. You know, and sometimes people will tarry a little bit too long with something and get sucked in it. Because they'll see it, tarry with it, and get sucked in. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11, this is what one of the things that happened to David. He said this, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." A terrible price to pay. And you know, it even talks about, and it goes in line, these two verses actually go in line with what it says in Proverbs when it concerns adultery. It says, the man that commits adultery does it without understanding, and then his wealth will be put into another man's house. But that's exactly what happened to David here, because he looked at the wrong thing and got sucked into it. He got lured into it. So there is something to what it says, even I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says to put the word upon the doorpost of your house. And God tells those people, he tells us what to focus on. Just keep your focus on my word and what I want. And it'll go well with you. It'll go well with you. You know, things don't have to be hard. Things don't have to be hard. If your life is hard, let me say this. In Proverbs it says this, that the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're having hard times, then that means there must be some transgression there. Right? Things don't have to be hard. Staying focused on the Word of God and on what He wants is easy. That's why He said, my burden is like light and my yoke is easy. Very easy. Amen? Yes. Amen. So if you don't have one yet, go home for your family and make you up a faith board or a vision board. Start looking at those things that God wants you to have. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be making our vision board for our church so we can see where we're going. We're going to see what God wants. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for your goodness, Father, your faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing us things, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that dwells in each and every believer, Father. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we dismiss here, there's a couple of things. You know, Kathy has a very good gift. If you got messed up teeth, I'm going to tell you what, this girl can pray for your teeth. Teeth pain, whatever it is. She's got that gift to pray for people's mouths. So if anyone needs their mouth or teeth prayed for, now here's one of the things. Let me tell you this. I've told you this before. Our oldest daughter, Sarah, her jaws were out of alignment, and they actually wanted to break her jaw to push it back, I think it was. And it was one of the things that seemed like it would be such a hard thing for our daughter to go through. Besides financially, it was like over $20,000, I think, is what they told us it cost to do. We prayed, and her jaws aligned perfectly. They aligned perfectly. Mike, I just told you about him just here, I don't know, a week or two ago. The oral surgeon said he had a cyst or a tumor in his jaw there before they take out his wisdom teeth. When they went in, they didn't see it. So, you know, we prayed and we asked the Lord. We said, Lord, we're believers, and you'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes. And he did. He did, because that would have cost us an extra, I think, $700 for his teeth to get that done. So God has always come through. We got different prayer requests here this morning, but it's the teeth. I'm going to have Kathy come up here. Anyone that need their teeth prayed for, their mouth prayed for, she'll pray for them because she's got that gift. You know, if you read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about gifts of healing. And I believe there's people that are gifted in certain things, and she's gifted in this gifts of healing for teeth. So whoever's got teeth or need their mouth prayed for, come on up here, and Kathy will do that. There's no use suffering here with this stuff, right?
I know this. There you go. Well, praise God. Praise God. You know,
Matt, why don't you come up here? Wow.
You know, and I know some of you have heard this already. And I think the reason he wanted me to do this, because God has really built my faith up in this, because every time I would go to the dentist with my kids, I'd take all my kids at once, and everybody would come out with no cavities, and here's Mom. And Mom would brush her teeth, and I'd have the cavities. And it's like, you know, so it really, you know, I'm like, Lord, there's got to be something here. And he showed me that every time I'd go to the dentist, I would go, and they would say, Kathy, you've got a dark shadow on your I need the dentist. It looks like you have a cavity. And my response was, oh, man. You know, and the Lord caught me. He said, Kathy, he said, that's doubt and unbelief. You're responding to what someone's saying and not responding to what God says. And he showed me that, you know, it says in the Word that, and I was looking for it, and if somebody can find it, go for it, because I couldn't find it right away, where it talks about you've been redeemed from the curse. That's in Galatians. But you've been redeemed from death and destruction. And when he showed me that, he showed me, he goes, Kathy, destruction is decay. Decay is destruction. And I'm like, oh, decay, cavities, got it. So I had to really, I stopped, and so this happened about 2 years ago that he showed me this. And I praise God, I can say I haven't had a cavity since. You know, and I know that's a simple thing, but God wants even the simple things. He wants us whole. And so that when he showed me that, when I had to go back to the dentist that next time, I just sang all the way, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I sang that all the way to the doctor's or dentist office, and I thanked him. I said, Lord, I've been redeemed from the curse. I've been redeemed from decay. And that's what I did. And you know, I got in that dentist chair, and they did the x-rays for my teeth, and they said, there's a darkness there, Kathy. I'm going to have to show the dentist. And I'm like, my first response was, under my breath, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from decay. And you know what? The dentist came in there, and he goes, he takes a look, and he goes, yeah, there's a dark spot, but he goes, it's just a shadow from the filling, the porcelain, because I don't get the amalgam. We get the porcelain in there. And he said, it's just a shadow from that. And I said, praise God. And it's been like that ever since. So I just want to encourage you that God has redeemed you. He's redeemed you from the curse. He's redeemed you from decay. He's redeemed you from all. And this doesn't just have to be. He's redeemed you from having an eye that is not functioning properly. Amen? That's of the curse. That is not of God, and that's not of his healing power and what he gave us. So I just want to encourage you in this as we pray. And Lord, and you remember we told you to believe for that. Just like Sarah, that jaw can line up because he wants you whole. Amen? He wants each one of you whole, Marissa. He wants us whole. Amen. Amen. So that's what I want to encourage you as we pray. And Dwayne, and Lily, and Linda, Christina, it's for your wholeness. It's for your wholeness, Jessica. It's for your wholeness, Tina. It's for your wholeness, Joel. And anyone else out there, for other things, it's for your wholeness. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much that you desire that our bodies be made whole from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Father, we agree with your word, Lord. Your word says when we come together as touching anything on this earth that we ask, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say for this one or that one. He said it shall be done. So, Father, we all come into agreement right now. Father, for the problems with our teeth, for our jaw misalignments, for eyes, for whatever is represented here, Father, today, Father, we just praise you right now that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed from death and destruction. Our bodies are whole in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you now, right now, that anything in there, Father, that is not of you, it be removed. It be removed in the name of Jesus. And Father, that anything that isn't there that should be, any teeth that are missing, like for Miss Dorothy, I know she's back there, but Father, we believe and we've prayed and we believe for her teeth to be brought back out that have been destroyed, Father. Yes, your recreative power in her mouth, Father, as well. Father, we thank you for this. Lord, we are expecting as we pray, and when we expect, we receive, and we thank you for it. And it's all for your glory and for your honor and for your praise, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.